Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Well, well, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. You are tuning in live right now to Ask Dr. Ava. And you can call in tonight at 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. And it seems like the third week in a row, Sister Ava wasn't on at the beginning. So I had to start off her wonderful show. This is her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And unfortunately, our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, will not be on tonight. But that does not mean that we do not want you to continue to call. We want all of our callers to call in tonight, and let's have an open mic discussion, and let's just have a good conversation. We can have a year-end review, as we know this will be the last show for the year of 2014, and next Thursday will be the first day of 2015. So we can close out this year and have a wonderful discussion of what has transpired this year and some of the latest things that have recently occurred in the news. Also, we just want to let everyone know that, let everybody know the reason why our wonderful sister is not here is because tomorrow she will be in New Orleans, opening up the day of Kwanzaa, speaking of Umoja, unity. So she's going to talk about how can we strengthen the unity between man, woman, and child. So she will be in New Orleans at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Orietta Castle Haley Boulevard in New Orleans, as well as she will be at Muhammad's Mosque number 46 this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. at 4201 Dowman Road in New Orleans. So our sister Ava is just coming off a wonderful weekend in Detroit, Michigan, and she did not stop. She is back on the road again. And also, you can catch her in Baton Rouge at the Elm Grove Baptist Church on 1069 North 38th Street in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, this Sunday at 4 p.m., where she's going to be on a panel, How Has Integration Affected Black Business and Family? It's a town hall panel discussion in Baton Rouge this Sunday at 4 p.m. And I also think that she did part one in Chicago, part two in Detroit, and she is going to do part three in New Orleans. So you don't want to miss our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And once again, like I said, this is Brother Terrence Muhammad, Dr. Ava's co-host. She will not be joining us today, but we still want all of our wonderful callers to call in and let's have a conversation on what's in the news and what is going on. But before I go any farther, I just want to invite on to the call our wonderful elevator contributor, Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm fine, and I'm not going to help you out. I'm not going to talk a lot.
Oh, yes, sir. We definitely want to make sure that you give us and impart to us everything that you can. So one of the things we want to let everybody know that this call is driven by the callers. Once again, call in at 347-324-5091. And I'm going to say this at the onset of the show, just like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, do not want us to be personality worshipers. We do know that we do come on this show to hear the good, great, inspirational words and motivation and teachings from our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, but we are also
That's right.
driven by our callers. So we want to make sure that the callers call in and let's have this conversation. Let's talk, let's expound on some things that are going on. And as we're waiting on our callers to call in, I do want to reiterate to everyone, if you have not, and even if you have, continue to watch and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and go back and rewatch, restudy, or look at it for the first time, his lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, The Time and What Must Be Done at NOI.org. And also, since today is Tis the Season, and for those that are celebrating and maybe didn't give a gift or still got some money and want to give a gift, and we know tomorrow is a major shopping day, just like the day after Thanksgiving, we want to make sure that you give your money, and then as online shopping, go to economicblueprint.org. Go to economicblueprint.org and make your donation of just 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, $18.20 a year. So just go ahead and put the whole $18.20 into an economic blueprint. What we can do for self instead of putting it into the merchants of death that are taking our money, sucking us poor, the bloodsuckers of the poor, taking our money and giving us the gains that we do not need and will not sustain our community and our lives. Let's give and put our money into places that will help us to build, get land, have good food, and have industries that we can start to do. So we want to make sure that people are mindful of the time, and as you're spending and all the gifts and money that you may have gotten in your Christmas cards, please now go online and donate to the Economic Blueprint so that we as a people can rise up out of this condition. Is there any news that you want to talk about before we start with these callers, Dr. Ridgely?
Well, it's not really news, except that I heard something, you know, looking at a football game, I heard a story about Richard Sherman, and it was so powerful, you know, I started crying, in that, you know, when he grew up in Compton, you know, he's a football player for Seattle, Seahawks. And anyway, he lived in a bad neighborhood, and there was a lot of gangs. But his mother, she would give them some, you know, a decent meal every now and then, the young people in the community. You know, our young people, parents work at all time and don't have time for them, so they get involved in gangs. But they would not allow him nor his brother to get involved in gangs. They kind of like adopted them to protect them so that they could go to college and they could get out. So for those who look at our young people as savages, to me that was a very powerful move, a statement by these young people who they knew they were in a bad situation. They couldn't get out, but they wanted somebody to get out. So instead of being like the crabs in a barrel pulling somebody down, they actually lifted somebody up. And I thought that was a great story, Richard Sherman's story, how he got into Stanford and now in the NFL. So all these young people needed was somebody to take some time and to treat them as family. And that completely changed their lives and changed the life of Richard Sherman and his brother. I just thought that was a powerful statement about what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to get us to do by going out in our community, involving ourselves with the young people, and not run from them, but to go and help them, to show some love you know, a decent meal, a decent word. Give them a direction to go. They just lost. They don't have direction and hope that we can provide that for them. So I just wanted to bring that in for this end of the season.
Well, Dr. Ridley, you brought in something very powerful and very something that ties into some of the things that a lot of people don't know of the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They may see a couple of lectures. They may see a couple of interviews, but they don't see the behind the scenes. And we, those that are in the ministry, know that the work on the rostrum is a very important work and a very necessary work of teaching and waking up our people with the message and the word from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we also know that the greatest work is once we leave the rostrum and from the teaching, and that is the ministry and going out into the communities, touching our people where they are. And that's one of the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has and is doing. As we know, he went into the streets. He went into the hood of Chicago, went straight to where our brothers and sisters were. You know, he went into the streets of New York, and he sent the FOI literally all across the world out into the community, not just here in the United States, but all over the world where there are FOI to go out to the community. And I just wanted to say that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is still working with our young people. As last week, he met with those that are in this struggle for justice across the country and those young people that have risen up. And I remember in 2008, the lecture is all about the youth. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan now is looking for that Joshua generation, and he's looking at these young people, the best generation that he says God has lifted up. And he is giving guidance to them, and especially as he did back in August, meeting with hip-hop artists and gang leaders of Chicago and giving guidance to them. And he's still doing that, and he is continues to do that and give guidance. And as Dr. Ridgely said, that's all that our people need is the right guidance and right teachings. So once again, you are listening to Ask Dr. Ava. This is the wonderful show that our sister is the host of. Unfortunately, she is not with us tonight. She is traveling. She will be down in the great city of New Orleans this weekend for Kwanzaa and speaking at Mosque number 46 with our brother, student minister, Willie Muhammad, as well as going to a conference on integration or separation in Baton Rouge on this past or coming Sunday. But we want to make sure that you call myself, our co-host, Brother Terrence, and Dr. Ridgely is on the call, and we want you to make sure that you call in. As Dr. Ava always says, the call is, or the show is driven from the callers, and she wanted to make sure that the platform for you was still open. Just because she may not be here, she did not want to deny the callers the opportunity to voice their concerns and call in to talk. So that number is 347-324-5091. Let's discuss this year and the things that are going on in the news. I think we have our first caller. Brother Khalifa has a comment. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Thank you so much, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Yes. I just wanted to say a few words that I'm so inspired from the leadership of the great Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the wisdom that he has been speaking all of this time. And you see that the whole world is in flux. And from what he has been teaching us of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we can see the monumental effect of what he has been saying all of these years. When we went to Cuba in 2000, I think it was 6, when he spoke on the Gitmo situation in 2006. I was in the library where I used to work at the hospital listening to that. And all of this is coming to the forefront now. So we are definitely, she's definitely showing to the world the hypocritical stance of this American government. So we thank Allah so much. And I want to share a few more words where his one of his recent tweets was 2 days ago, where he said, the worst person to get into a fight with is the God of justice. And we know
that's
that the God of justice is on the scene today.
That's right.
And these young youth, the Joshua generation, And it says there in Joshua that they were armed. They were armed with the truth, the wisdom that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given. And I'm just so inspired from this. And the last thing I want to say, where we were given our actual facts, where Master Farrakhan gave us the actual facts that we outnumber them 11 to 1. I want to remind us, those that might have forgotten or didn't even hear, when the minister was on his Caribbean tour 2 years ago, he told us that now we outnumber them 20 to 1. So believers, we are here in the thick of it. So we thank God and let us continue on in this struggle, for God never breaks his promise. Thank you.
Yes,
you know, thank you, Brother Khalifa. Thank you for that call. Dr. Ridger, I have some comments. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to say is we want to make sure that everyone is following Dr. Ava and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Twitter. You can follow Minister Farrakhan at Louis Farrakhan on Twitter, at Louis Farrakhan, as well as Dr. Ava at Dr. Ava Muhammad. So I want to make sure that you follow them on Twitter, and both of them are on Facebook. You know, go look Minister Louis Farrakhan on Facebook, as well as Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad is also, they are both on Facebook, so we make sure that we can follow them. One of the things that our brother did say, even though we know that teachings of we outnumber them 11 to 1, the reality is that one was so skillful in dividing the 11 and making us not a strong, formidable force. So we understand that our unity is more powerful than an atomic or a hydrogen bomb. So we must come together in unity, and that's why tomorrow, and it's so key, the first principle of Kwanzaa is umoja, which is unity. And if we can start to unify, then we can come together. And I think that's one of the significant things that we have seen in Ferguson, is young people in the community came together. And not only did they come together in Ferguson, but they also came together across the country. Young people stood up and stood for justice. And as our brother Khalifa just mentioned, is that it's hard to fight the God of justice. So those that are making this man-made justice, where we see we're not getting justice and it's just for a certain people, that we will make sure that at some point we know God will give justice to those that have not gained justice by this world. So I appreciate that call from our brother. And Dr. Richard, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, when you said something, and it reminded me of something. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that, you know, man is not born without an aim and a purpose. And if you don't find your aim and purpose in life, you wasted your life, and you really start moving in a direction of self-destruction where you are not fulfilling your aim and purpose. Now, unity is the first principle, but why have we not obtained unity? You know, my theory is that number five should be first. Number five is Nia, which is purpose. Mm-hmm. Without purpose, you don't have any reason to do anything. And, you know, why have we not united? We have not found a single purpose. And right now, the white man has given us a purpose in living, which he controls. In other words, we live to consume. We live to outshine one another. We live to satisfy our ego and our lower desires. Therefore, he can feed you that on a spoon. He, you know, give you a little bit. Then he gives more to your next-door neighbor or to your friend and get you to fight and kill one another. That's how they're able to control us. Mr. Farrakhan said in 1997 down in Birmingham, Alabama, he said that the white man has learned how to stimulate the brown germ in the black man. And through our weaknesses, he controls us. So we are divided because we're after the thing that the white man controls. Now, what is our purpose? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that the purpose of a Muslim is to become one with Allah, is to be at peace with God's will, to find out how you fit into God's will to fulfill your purpose. Now, we all will begin to do that then there would be no reason to compete with one another. There was no reason to put a monkey wrench or banana peel in the path of someone else, because you're so busy on your own path. And being on your own path, you'll find others who on their path, and those paths will cross, but not in opposition, but in complementary nature. They'll be a help to you. So this is what Minister Farrakhan teaches us, and we have 9 ministries. Now, we're in the Ministry of Agriculture. I have found my purpose in agriculture. Some of us have found purpose in agriculture. But there's other ministries, there's other things, arts and technology and industry. All of these things, someone should be able to find themselves in those things, and so that we will not be competing with one another, but we will find those who have similar minds, similar goal, the economic blueprint, put it to work, working together in unity, and going on and build something for ourselves. But we are reacting to the white man's giving us or not giving us justice and things, and this is why we divide it. We have to find a purpose outside of the white man's world, and we have that in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and in the Holy Quran. It gives us a different purpose than this world's purpose. Therefore, we can come together as one nation of believers and do the right thing for self, by self, by submitting to the will of the Creator.
That's very good, Dr. Rajan, and I, echo your sentiments. Blessed is the man or woman who finds his purpose. And I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan doing that lecture, I think, in 1997 at Winston-Salem State University. And he talks about that. And once we find our purpose, and he also just, I remember a lecture that he did, I don't know if it was Harvey University, I'm not remembering the name of the university, but I think it was in Chicago or near Chicago, where he was on a panel discussion talking about education recently in the last year or two. And he was just saying, what kind of education do we have that gives us purpose and helps us to get to that next level? And understanding also, purpose is also determined by the time, because time dictates the agenda. And if we know what time we're in, then we'll know the agenda and we'll know our purpose for this time. And that's why, as we are watching, there's a purpose to fight for justice now coming out of the young people. And it's that time for that Joshua generation to stand up. So we are right there. And actually, this, as you said, they have now given us a purpose and a reason to fight, a reason to live, and we're seeing young people actually standing up and making a difference. So once again, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to Ask Dr. Ava. Our sister Dr. Ava is on another tour down in the South, going to New Orleans and Baton Rouge this weekend to celebrate in a separation conference and to celebrate in Kwanzaa celebration and to speak at Mosque number 46. But she wanted the show to continue, so please call in at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. This call is driven by our callers, so we're going to go to the next caller, and we have a comment from Brother Keith. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
As-salamu alaykum to the gods.
Walaykum salam.
Yes, first I want to say, it's either unite or die, what Dr. Collins always say, regards to land, label, language, we are one people. And
until
we get in our heads, separation will never work unless we have unity. The prerequisite, the power is right knowledge, and we've been given the right knowledge. Either we're going to unite or we're going to die together. We're going to unite one way or other. But separation must happen. It must be a methodical process, because I can tell you right now today, the white man knows what he's going to do 50 years from now. It's a book called The Next 100 Million, The Next 100 Million in America, and speak about the browning in America and the influence of these so-called immigrants to the United States. And within 50 years, by the year 2050, quote-unquote, this country will be browning. So, the minister, when he say, if we did absolutely nothing, the white man going to go one way or the other. Genetic annihilation with Dr. Francis Quest Wilson. So separation is absolute must. And another option, I think we need to take another look at is what, you know, our brother, the Honorable Marcus Garvey taught, is repatriation. It may be a solution to migrate back to Africa or a black predominant country and the black government. We all know that there is no true independent black country government, but the ills that we suffer under a white dominant force, we won't necessarily suffer among our own people where we predominate, you say, like Brazil, the Caribbean, or Africa, wherever our population is concentrated, and then we still have a sentiment of our culture that we've lost that we don't have here in America. That's all I want to say. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam. You know, I thought about, this is just my personal opinion. You know, I've been to Africa, and I've been to the islands, and Bermuda was a beautiful place. It was like heaven. And I went there when I was about 19 years old. And I really was thinking about moving to Bermuda. But, you know, this beast, you know, you can't run from this beast. When I went to Liberia, they had a radio station on that was talking against Charles Taylor at the time. And then he didn't give his license. And then he got a call from the State Department of the United States saying to give him their license. He thought it was owned by the Catholic Church. It wasn't. It was owned by the State Department. And it was putting out bad information on him. So you can't get away. And they started these coups and these civil wars and get you to fight and kill one another. Look over there in Iraq. Look what they did. They got the Shia and the Sunni were living over there for hundreds of years together. And now they're blowing up each other's box once you let him in. So you can't run from this beast. He must be taken out at home. You know, we are that generation. We are that people. We are the mistake that he made by bringing us over here. And we are taught that God is going to come and is going to deliver us and punish the one who has put us in this condition. But we have to stand up as a united front to give God a reason to come and take out our enemy. But as long as we are holding on to the enemy, as long as we got a latching on to the master's leg, like we don't want to leave, like we love him, well, you know, we belong to him. We should separate first with our names, then with our money, with our mind. We can begin to locate right in our own communities with one another and change our communities into our towns. We can buy land, set up our own existence. Let's do that and force the enemy to come against us physically so our God can kill him. That's what our God is waiting on. He's waiting on an excuse to kill him. But we're not giving him a clear shot because we hold on to the master. So, no, I'm personally not going to go to Africa or them other places. I'm going to stay right here and fight and die right here trying to get rid of this beast right here in his lair, right here in his power. So our job, Mr. Farrakhan said, we are the dare. We are the dare for this world. We're going to build a world in your backyard and dare you to come and get us. If you come and get us, we got a God with a plane that's going to take you out. That's my faith. That's my belief.
You know, and to as always echo with you, Dr. Ridges, one of the things for us, and we are constantly teaching and training and teaching the lessons and that which is taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the first thing I would just say is that he said that America, this land that we're in, 3,000 by 2,000, is the promised land. This is the land that we're going into. He didn't say anywhere else on the planet. He said this. So for us in the Nation of Islam, and I said this is our job and our duty to prove and make his word bond, we see him as the voice of God. So Minister Farrakhan is not just an eloquent speaker or some national leader. No, he is the representative of the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they are the representatives of God. And as the representative of God, and they say this is the promised land, then we seek to have land here where we have built this country. And we also have to remember He has also talked about separation while being integrated. As we look at Chinatown, when you go in it, they are integrated in society, but when you go into Chinatown, it is totally separated with their language, their culture, and they can care less if you understand Chinese or not, because it wasn't set up for you, even though they're amongst you. So we have to be able to first separate our mindset and our thinking, because the reality is most black people that have gone to foreign countries and gone to Africa or gone to wherever outside of America, the stench and the culture of America is so obvious to people outside of the country, and they see us, regardless of how dark we are, they see America and they see American, because they can hear our voice, they can see our ways. And, you know, so we have to make sure that we change that here. And we must fight a beast that's here that has outreach and its tentacles all across the world.
You know, how did Starbucks and McDonald's wind up in Africa?
See, right.
It took some Negro, you know what I'm saying, who brought that culture there. So we go there, we carry America with us and mess up them. Okay, they are colonized. Many of the people who went away to school are their leaders. They went away to England. They went away to America. And when they come back, they want Starbucks. They want Gucci. And their society can't afford that. So they wind up selling their people out so they can live a lifestyle they got used to while they were living in the belly of the beast in America or in Britain or in France. So, no, we have to destroy the beast where it is. Meaning what? Destroy the love of the beast's world. You know, we should stand forth like the Amish people or the Mennonites. Here you got white folks are standing forth more against the beast than we are. They're pulled out completely from this beast's world, and they live a life according to the Bible. But are we willing to do that? Are we willing to forsake some of the amenities that we know the only reason these amenities are there is because somewhere this white man has stole resources from another people? We want to live like the white man, be accepted by the white man. We want justice from the white man. And we think that somehow or another we don't participate in the blood that the white man has shed from other people to get what we got. No, we need to pull out from him, tell him he keep his world, we'll build our own. Me personally, as a follower of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when I started following him when I was going to college, and I got a very arrogant attitude about the white man's world because I was a Muslim in the Nation of Islam before I got a degree. And I went through this world looking at him from the eyes that Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave me to study, get what I can out of him, but also to understand that he was not my master, and he is not that smart. He is not that smart. We can do better, but we don't want to do better because we don't believe we can do better. We think the white man is God. That's straight up. We think the white man is God. I ain't bowing down to no white man. I'm sorry. I'm bowing down to a black man called the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He my boss. He tell me what to do. Ain't no cracker go do that no more. I'm through with that. Assalamu alaikum. Peace. I'm out.
Well, like I said, thank you for that. Boy, I see. The call is always generating good energy, good spirit. And once again, you are tuning in to Ask Dr. Ava. Ask Dr. Ava's weekly show is on, and she is not with us tonight, but she wanted to make sure that the lines were open for her wonderful, extraordinary callers. So we want to make sure that the callers continue to call in. I know you always wanted to hear from our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. We all want to hear from her. She's not
That's
here,
right.
But she did want the platform to continue to go.
Yeah.
And we want people to continue to call in. Let's talk. What happened to you this year? What is going on at this time? What are you planning to do in the coming year? And also, for anyone that may have been in Detroit this past weekend that want to call and just let us know how the weekend was with Dr. Ava, because hopefully next week we'll hear from those in Baton Rouge and New Orleans come on and talk to us about what is going on with her as she's down there this weekend. But you can call in at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. We have on calling in to ask Dr. Ava, we have a comment from Sister Joella. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All praises due to Allah. We miss Sister Ava, but we know that Allah is going to protect her, and we look forward to hearing from her next week. But it's a blessing to hear you, from you, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely. Just wanted to comment on what Dr. Ridgely said regarding just following one person. And I think whenever he tells us to go, we should go, because look at what has happened just this week when everyone was talking about traveling, how the four great judgments of America, the rain, the wind, and the hailstorm and the snow prohibited a lot of people from traveling. So we're definitely thinking about how this economy is falling, because when you hear how they are so frustrated that they can't even get up in the planes to get to where they have to go, they are really frustrated. So we know that Allah has the minister, and we just pray that he will continue to show us as people that if we follow what the minister is telling us to do with the economic blueprint to get farmland and to start feeding ourselves, that he will protect us. So may Allah continue to bless us to carry this message to our people. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
And Brother Terrence, I just want to say that I want to let people know, you know, I'm very nervous being on and Minister Ava not being there because, you know, she has so much knowledge and wisdom. So I think anything that I say, if it's not quite right, she's always there to straighten it up and to give a better light to it. So it's kind of nerve-wracking to not have that backup because, you know, Ms. Safar kind of said that she is his best minister. And I've been witness to being around her, seeing her in action. Everybody sees the effect that she has on the people because she is so wise and so real. So we don't want to do anything to mess up her program. So that's why it's kind of nervous to be on for her while she's not here. But y'all can play Stump Dr. Ridge and Brother Terrence, and then we can write down these questions and make sure that she gets it next week so she can answer that we don't do a good job.
I'm glad you said it, Dr. Ridge, because I have been feeling that way all the time, and especially when we had our conversation with Dr. Ava about having the show, because we know we are not Dr. Ava. We are very clear that we are not Dr. Ava. And I say that is because, one, she brings the whole balance into the conversation, and that's why we welcome the calls, not only from the brothers, but from the sisters, because we know as men we are imbalanced without our sisters, and we do need that balance. And she brings a perspective that is so so motivating and inspiring. And if you don't know anything about Dr. Ava is a person who does not see herself as we see her. She is very down to earth. She's very loving. She's very kind. But when she delivers the word of God, you right. see the spirit of God come out of her.
Right.
And she is not someone who just shoots from the hip. She shoots from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
She teaches from the lessons given to her by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and his character and his demeanor, not only in his lectures and in his words, just the way that he loves us, the way that he cares for us, the way that he welcomes in his home the brother from the street, the brother or sister from the street, or the one that has a title or the one that has a position, or even those that have tried to kill or want to do harm or have spoken ill of him.
Right.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan example
right.
is one to be studied and to be admired. And she being his national student representative, it's an honor to just be on the same line with her to share and impart what Allah has blessed us to have. So I concur with Dr. Ridgely said that this is very nervous to be hosting or carrying the show tonight while we're in the absence of Dr. Ava. But as I've said before, she's not here, but she wanted the call to be on because she feels that this is a platform where people, not just the believers,
right.
and we invite everyone to listen and call in, whether you're a member, a registered member, because you are a member of this nation of Islam, a nation of peace, a nation that is striving to submit to do the will of God. But we thank everybody for continuing to call, and we're going to go to our next caller, Sister Eula. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. What's your comment?
Hello. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum.
Yes, sir. I'm excited because I ordered 80 pounds of whole wheat flour from Dr. Wrigley.
All right.
Praise to Allah. And but I was going to ask him if he could have Sister Annie. I can't say her name right. I'm a little nervous. If she could tell me how to cook the lentils. I got 50 pounds of the red lentils, and I know I'm not cooking them right.
Okay. Sister Ann, you on? What we'll do is Saturday, this Saturday night, we're going to be on Blog Talk Radio, the farm.
Yes, sir.
And call in. You called in there before?
Many times, yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Call in, and I'll make sure she's on to tell you how to do that.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you.
347-945-5454. So
yes, sir. I know the number by heart. But I was going to say this, brother. I changed my whole agenda when you mentioned that about Sister Ava because I don't want to say anything improper. I'll wait till next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. I'm dusty because I'm doing flour right now for the staple goods project. We are actually milling wheat into flour. We're doing it all day long, me and my Sister Ann's grandson. So we all dusty from work.
Yes, sir. Praise to Allah. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. You know, one of the things I did want to say, and Dr. Richard, you know, he said something, but I don't want the callers to get nervous. We still want you to call in and say whatever you need to say. Go ahead. Do what you need to say just because Dr. Ava's not on. Now, we have to carry the weight of not being Sister Ava in our responses, but you as a caller can lay out whatever you need to lay out, ask whatever question you have because
right.
She's going to listen to the replay
right.
of this show anyway. So, but I did want to mention that there was I saw somebody, I don't know, it was a Facebook movie trailer or a trailer I saw, and it was about this movie, and it was talking about martial law, and as we're seeing this government and this country in turmoil with a lot more protests, a lot more die-ins and youth uprisings across the country and a lot more killings and things that are going on. One of the things I saw in this trailer for a movie was that there was a martial law taking place, and this lady has a grocery cart and she goes to the store and none of the aisles have any food on it. Everything has been taken up and bought up. And I just wanted Dr. Richard, if you can, just kind of go into, you know, we think, oh, the staple's good, you know, we can get in and eat it now, but what is the value and really what is the importance of us really stocking up, as someone just mentioned, how the weather has shut people's travel plans down? What is the value and the real importance of this staple goods?
Well, you know, in the Holy Quran, it talks about the Messiah and his work. And one of the things was that he was supposed to teach us what to eat and what to store in our houses. And this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has done. We don't have, Jesus didn't do it, Prophet Muhammad, may the peace of Allah be upon him, didn't do it. It's only the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who came with how to eat to live. And then he told us what to store in our houses because there's going to be a time when we can't get to the stores. He's been telling us that, and now Mr. Farrakhan is telling us that, and now we see it coming over the horizon. That's why three or four years ago, we saw the Staple Goods Project. And it's our eighth time, and we're getting ready to distribute to 65 cities. So it's increasing, but the volume is increasing, yes, but then a lot of people are eating up the product, and they still eat some, but you got to save some because it's about to happen. Now, in terms of these movies, and it's the holiest thing leading up, see, they be telling you, see, these people try to line people up for certain things, okay? They like to play people. That's why they like to play us like we're animals, like we're little sheep, and they can herd us what they want to. You remember a couple of years ago, before the killing started, a few months before Trayvon Martin, you had, before the verdict, you had Django.
Django.
And then Mr. Farrakhan came out and talked about that movie and said, look, we wait on God to do the revenge. We're not the ones to take a gun and do revenge. Now, then they started these series of killings. and making it very public, and then letting people go from killing us. See, they're setting a stage so they have an excuse to do what they plan to do. They plan to sink this country. Donald B. Elijah Muhammad said one day you'd have billionaires lighting up their cigars with $1,000 bills. Well, there are, the pundits are talking about 2015, 2016 being the complete destruction of the dollar. And we talk about it in our book, The Sheepdog and the Evil Shepherd. They're getting ready to sink the country again the way they did in 2008, and they want to use a civil war, a fight between black and white, as the excuse as to the reason why the economy failed, when in fact these the so-called Jews, the international bankers, is getting ready to rip everybody off. They just changed two things in the law that you need to know. Two things have changed. One, they got rid of part of the bill to control the corporations, the big five banks, from these derivatives, which are nothing but bets. Like right now, a lot of them lose a lot of money on betting on oil, and oil has dropped a lot more in a month than anybody expected. So there'll be trillions of dollars lost in these derivatives. The Dodd-Frank bill put those derivatives, that was gambling, outside of the depositors' money. In other words, they forced the banks to not play with the depositors' money with this gambling on these derivatives. Well, this last $1.1 trillion budget, they slipped in there a clause that in effect allowed the banks to play with the people's money in these derivatives. So when they lose money, they have a right to confiscate the deposits. So instead of going to the government for a bailout, they're just actually going to take people's deposits. Mm-hmm. So you got money in the bank, they're just going to take it. And they're doing all of this knowing that what's getting ready to happen. So they're setting it up so you can be ripped off. Two pieces. One, they allow them to play with your money with derivatives. And two, they've made a law that if they lose and they're about to go bankrupt, they have a right to take your deposits as assets to pay off their bad debts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their bad debts. So they're leading people in a direction. Okay, they're herding people in a direction. They're going to rip and fleece the people, but they want to hide who did it. In 2001, they used the Muslims, 9/11. They stole at least $2.7 trillion. 2008, they used the black people who bought homes they couldn't afford. What they stole is umpteen trillions of dollars off of that. And they get ready to do the real big one in 2016, and they're setting up the scenario to blame everybody else except the so-called Jews, the international bankers, who's behind the scenes ripping the people off by the trillions, taking the policemen's monies, taking their pension funds, and then making them think that it's black folks that's the problem. So these police are out running us down as though we the problem, where their pension fund was stolen by them Jews back in 2008, and they get ready to steal it again in 2016. But, like the book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, we as black folks have been convenient scapegoats to hide the Jews taking the non-Jews' money, and they get ready to do it again, and they want to blame us again. We need to stay with Mr. Farrakhan, get on a plane in terms of existence outside of this system so we can survive as it crashes, because it's going to crash again very soon, and they hope that everybody's a panic. And if you have some water, some food in your home, so when they go down, the lights go off, you don't panic going to the streets to get shot down, then those who have listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we may be able to get through this valley of the shadow of death, this red sea of blood that's getting ready to happen.
All right. Thank you, Sister Eula, for calling in. Dr. Ridge, if you can, give one more time the time and the phone number for your show on Saturday.
Okay. It's 7 Central, 8 Eastern, NOI-MOA. It's the Blog Talk Radio /NOI-MOA if you want to look it on the Internet. Or you can call in at 347-945-5454. And we'll be doing it right after we're with Minister Ava in New Orleans. We're going to be with her. It's her program. So we're going right after that. We'll give you a live update of what happened there, and also talk with you about all the issues in the Ministry of Agriculture, and we'll have Sister Ann to be ready to tell Sister Eula in particular about the lentils. We on every Saturday at 8 Eastern, 7 Central.
All right. Thank you, sir. Once again, you are tuned in to At Dr. Ava, the show with the host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. She is not on tonight. She is traveling. She will be in the great city of New Orleans and Baton Rouge this week. And we want to make sure that you check her out, and we will give those times and dates again for her. She's kicking off Kwanzaa tomorrow. She'll be at Mosque number 46 on Sunday, and in Baton Rouge at 4 p.m. on Sunday evening. So right now, callers, we will be coming to you, so please stay and hold on. But I want to bring on this past weekend, there was some powerful earth-shattering things going on in the great city of Detroit. Mosque number one had part two, Sin of Integration, with our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. But there's one particular sister that is responsible for bringing Dr. Ava and having a wonderful program on this past Saturday. And I think she may be on, Sister, and I always mess her name up, Mahalika. Are you on the call, as Dr. Ava?
Yes, Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Dr. Ridley?
We're fine, sister.
We're fine, by the grace of Allah. I want you to call in and just give us a few minutes. We want to pause from our callers and just to give you a few minutes to kind of talk to us. Tell us about the history of your organization, how it started, how many years this has been going on, and you can give us an overview of what took place this past weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I'd like to extend my love and gratitude to Dr. Ava for always accepting our invitation to come and celebrate our anniversary, which actually is on December 6th. Every year. And so this year she wasn't able to come because she had a previous engagement that weekend, so she did agree to come over this past weekend. And so the Girl of Goddess is a mentoring program that my sister, my oldest sister, actually invited me into one of the middle schools about 8 or so years ago to teach female responsibility to 8th grade girls. And so we thought, oh, yeah, we could do that. That's no big deal, once a month. And but after about 5 months of doing this, we just absolutely fell in love with them. And when the school year ended that June, we decided we needed to continue this, not just once a month, but we needed to do something more because we saw the need for the girls. And so from there, we started doing just little, you know, things in the community. And some of the parents heard about us, and then they advocated for us to come to their school. And so since the program was free, the principals couldn't resist that. So we just went in and started teaching them components of the MGT class and self-improvement study group. And from there, the rest is history. We did change how we did things because when you go into the schools, you're not able to control the environment, unfortunately. And so we had many obstacles, sometimes from teaching staff and people who just really did not understand our mission. Although the children accepted us and the parents liked us, sometimes with the administration, they're not as open. We went in as Muslim women, followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, never imposing our religion in a way that will compromise anything that the school district had. But we just were ourselves, and the girls and the parents fell in love with us. So that's how that all started. And so after a couple of years of doing that, Allah showed us that we needed to really not just deal with just the girls, but perhaps their moms, because a lot of the girls emulated their mothers. They did everything their moms did. And so we figured if we talk to the young ladies, maybe we can talk to their mothers. And so that's how we got started doing more things in the community. And so when Dr. Ava comes into the city, although it's our anniversary, we really just highlight and celebrate women and girls. And so this past weekend we did You Are Naturally Beautiful, and we took her book, and we pulled excerpts from the book. We talked about envy, and we talked about the power of thinking, and we talked about Mary Magdalene. And from that discussion, or those discussions, the women just opened up. In fact, about it, I learned later, or a day or two after the event, that the women, 85% of the women that came through just advertisements from Facebook, and the word just spread, and they were coming through the doors in droves, almost as if they were hungry for food. It was from what I understand, from what I was told. And we had not only did we have the MGT there, but they brought their sisters and their nieces and their cousins and their neighbors, their mothers. We had pastors in there. We had activists in there. And so it was really, really overwhelming. And there were close to a little over 160 women there and girls. And so it was phenomenal. And I still do not know what happened this weekend. Other than my focus and my desire was not so much to celebrate Girl to God's anniversary, which is the eighth year, but to go after God's women in particular. And that was my focus. That was what success meant to me. And we were able to do that by God's grace. And then some of them came the next day. And so it was wonderful. Again, the women had comments, because we do evals every time we do a workshop. And they appreciated her humor. They appreciated her ability to connect with them, although they were not necessarily Muslim followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they said things like, this needs to not just be one time, it must be a series, when is she coming back, and can we do some things, can we have more sister circles, can we have book club meeting. We had all kind of comments. And so they were hungry, and I asked the sisters, subordinate what you know and allow God to bring in something additional or a better understanding from what you know. And that kind of opened things up for us. And so we're always thankful to Allah to be able to do this work and to do it cheerfully and fear not, and not worry about what people are going to think, but, you know, accept how Allah wants to use us. And we're just thankful that He chose to use us again over the weekend to get His women. That was the whole focus, and we had success from that.
Well, praise be to Allah. I just wanted to thank you. I just wanted to give you a few minutes to give that out. And, you know, from what I've heard, you know, from Dr. Ava, you know, it's a sellout, and you have to get her book, Naturally Beautiful, AvaMuhammad.net. AvaMuhammad.net. Go get the book, Naturally Beautiful. I heard it was a sellout. And I do want to just mention that she did also mention, said, you know, these are women, outstanding women. A lot of the women that came are professional women and mm-hmm. have status. So it was all kinds of women, you know, from the quote-unquote educated, uneducated, registered, non-registered Muslims. So it was a nice mix of women. I heard it was a packed house, as well as the Sunday lecture. So go ahead and give us again the website, how people can get in touch with you, and we're going to go right back to our callers. How can they reach you or learn more about the program?
Well, you can always visit our website, girl2goddess.org, and you can always call us at 248-905-1213.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for calling in.
You're most welcome. Thank you. May Allah bless you all. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
And I just want to say, Brother Terrence, the conversational mode in which they did their thing up there,
yes,
you
sir.
I think that that's a new and better method of teaching other than just, you know, standing up preaching to people, because this way you connect with them and you get, you know, feedback. And this is why I think Elevated Places, as Dr. Ava has been so successful, is that it's conversation, it's not preaching. And
right.
We try to get, you know, we want to have a conversation, because in the end, if you have a conversation, truth, you know, what we teach is it can't be proved. Therefore, we don't need to browbeat you. You know, we can just talk. And you and I will bear witness to the same truth, because there's only one. So I just think that's a good format for actually engaging the people.
You know, and it's a good thing that you say that, because one of the things that is going on around the Nation of Islam, we do have study sessions that everybody's invited to at your local mosque. You can come and participate on Wednesday and Friday nights and listen and partake in these teachings. So once again, you are listening to Ask Dr. Ava. I am her co-host, Terrence Muhammad, and our contributor, Dr. Ridgely, are on the call. Dr. Ava is traveling this week, but she wanted to make sure that the lines were still open. And she will be in Baton Rouge and New Orleans this weekend. But we have Brother Eric coming on to Ask Dr. Ava. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava, Brother Eric. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, God bless you all. How you doing this evening?
All right. How are you?
Good, good. I'd like to ask Dr. Ridgely his expertise in economics and farming. How can those principles be used to improve our capacity for manufacturing? We really don't manufacture much, but with your expertise and knowledge about economics and farming, how can you use those principles to increase our capacity for manufacturing?
Well, you know, we have found the hard way that growing raw product ain't going to make you no money.
Okay.
You have to take it to the next step. We call it value added. Mm-hmm. So manufacturing is, you got to have a raw product from which to manufacture.
Okay.
So we go on to the next step. That's why we out here with the flour.
Right.
Change the wheat into flour. That's a processing. And then we're going to go to canning, freezing. And also into making clothes, which is manufacturing from the cotton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we learn how to make clothes from the cotton, in other words, that we can do it, have the pieces, then I'm going to grow cotton again. But I'm not going to grow cotton again until we can do that. So for a manufacturing base, you got to have the raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the farmer, for instance, and a loaf of bread, you have a loaf of bread, about a pound of wheat, to a pound of flour, and then a pound of loaf of bread. Now, even though the majority of the loaf of bread is, in fact, wheat, you may pay $3, $4 for a loaf of whole wheat bread. The amount of money that a farmer gets out of that bread is 7 cents, 0.07 cents out of each loaf of bread is all that the farmer gets for his raw product.
Okay.
So the rest of that money goes to somebody else. We have got to learn how to do those pieces so we can put our people to work doing all those pieces from the land to the man. Okay, because just having the land and producing the raw product, the way this system is set up, you will lose money.
Right.
And the big white farmers have co-ops, and they go to value added to the next step. And then it's cotton, they at least do the ginning part of the cotton. They don't send it to somebody else to gin it for them. And some of it even goes to the next levels in the processing of different products by the whole group of farmers, and then they get profits from that business, and their raw product is just feeds into the next level of business. And this is what we have to do, is the Muhammad Farms and other black farmers, we have to have our raw product feed into other products, because as much as we're trying to get our people to go back in the kitchen, it's hard.
Okay.
So we're going to have to meet them halfway and produce products, process them to a next level to make it easier for them to buy from us, because they're not willing to do the whole process of preparation of the food. If we can prepare some of the vegetables so that only I do is drop them in the pot, you know, that's what they want. So that's where manufacturing comes in actually to aid the farm.
Okay. That's excellent. Yes, that's excellent. So that's where the money can be made up, those in-between steps, like you said, from land to man, we have to fill in that gap right there.
Fill in that gap.
Make the profit.
So the farmer gets 7 cents for a loaf of bread, basically. He gets 7 cents out of a loaf of bread. Where does the rest of that money go? that's what we got. Everybody else got to get involved. You know, we got to have our own bakeries. We got to have our own trucking, our own flour mills, our own distribution, our own retail outlets. And we're going to discuss some of that at that the separation conference in Baton Rouge on Sunday. I'm going to be down there with Sister Ava and Brother Louis Ali, and we're going to talk about some specific types of steps we need to make, including some type of businesses we need to get into to prepare ourselves for a separate existence. We're already separated, but we just not existing. You know, and what I'm saying is that we are segregated and separated in the white man's system, and we just at the bottom end of it. We're not taking advantage of our uniqueness. We need now to take advantage of our uniqueness. We have certain unique things that we eat, certain way we comb our hair, certain thing, way we dress. We need to make money off of our uniqueness and not to continue to spend our money with the open enemy, but let's spend our money with each other. But we're going to talk specifically about how we can work together and start building some businesses together so that everybody can get paid and everybody get a job.
Now, for those of us who can't make it to Baton Rouge, would you be able to put that online, the information from the conference? Or?
Yes. You'll be looking at NOIMOA. We're going to do NOIMOA.com. NOIMOA.com. Be looking for that. And as well as, like I said, this Saturday, we're going to give you a synopsis of what happened to that date up in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be on Blog Talk Radio / NOIMOA. And,
well, that sounds very exciting what you just told me there. So.
Well, it's what I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we appreciate all your efforts and time and talent.
Thank you. Praise
all
be
right.
to God.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Brother Eric.
God bless.
And drum roll, we'll next caller is Dr. Salam. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam.
Oh, got the two kings there. Y'all run the queen off, I heard.
Oh, no, sir. She's rolling the country, doing the work of her father. She is teaching and making it happen.
Yeah, I figured you were going to clean that up.
Well,
yes, sir.
Oh, don't get us in trouble because we are not the star.
Yeah. I slid one in there just in case I get off. I'll put y'all out there first. Yes, sir. Brother Lewis and Brother Dr. Ridgely really started this off in the right path. But a sister called in, you may remember this, about 3 or 4 months ago, and she had an issue. It wasn't really an issue, but she was wondering why Muhammad Speaks became Final Call. Do you remember that call?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember ever hearing that question come up.
Yeah, it did. But it wasn't in a negative way. And Dr. Ava handled it very well. But what I see is the final, Muhammad Speaks, the final call and the time and what must be done is really all in the same essence. And it all comes down to what you just said, separation. And that's all this thing is really about. What I saw that may have been a problem is us getting away from the study guides after the Supreme Wisdom come out. We have to clean that inner self up, that envy, that lust, that jealousy, that hatred, that vanity. We cannot separate carrying that baggage. And I'm not saying anyone is guilty of that per se, but when we go back and look at some of those study guides, I know I went back and I saw some things that I cleaned up on. And those study guides 1, 2, 3 were very, very powerful. But Muhammad Speaks, Final Call, the time of what must be done is all the very same thing. Wouldn't you say?
Well, it's all teaching the same truth. And it's only difference is the timing of that truth in relationship to present events. You know,
that's right.
Many times you hear something again on a different circumstances, and all of a sudden it clicks.
This is why we are taught that we should read the Holy Quran every year, straight through. Why? Because I'm different this year than I was last year. I've had a different experience. Therefore, when Allah speaks, I will hear him differently now than I did before. So the same thing with the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's the same teaching, but as time goes on and events happen, then those teachings, pieces of that teaching become more relevant and hits right to the point. It's like Mr. Farrakhan said, listen to me, and I'm going to tell you what's going to be on the newspaper tomorrow. In other words, he tell you ahead of time what's going to happen, all because of the teachings, but it now is in place in a time frame that actually speaks to a different, speaks the same thing, but into a different time.
That's right.
More in-depth understanding of the time and the teaching.
That is correct. And I appreciate those words, brother. You mentioned something. I heard you talking to the sister about, you know, that type of, you have some books out, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I actually found one of them when I was in Florida. And Umbrella had one of the books. And he said, because he heard the show that night when the sister said that, that they were going to sell their house and move on the farm. And I think they did. And, yeah. And that was a beautiful kind of spirit to have. But I just wanted to let people know that this is just an evolution that we're going through. But if you cannot separate from the thing that has been oppressing us all of this time, then there's nowhere for you to go but down. You got to trust in Allah and trust in the message that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us. To separate is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and I think a lot of the people think that it's something that's really ugly. We got to curse somebody out and slam the door and walk away. Well, you do that in your own marriages and stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about uniting under one God, under one ideology, and under one peace. And that's really all it is. And I just want to thank you for keep on talking about the farming and all, because I'm studying and I'm learning some things also. And all of us, I think, are evolving. So hopefully during this little time I've been on here, we're not going to get a spanking from the president when she comes back. But I think people, I don't know that people really know the value of that sister. There is no other woman on this planet that does what she does with the spirit in which she does it. So the messenger
I would not just want to qualify that in terms of woman. Other than the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, I don't think there's any body, period, male or female.
No. I'm just saying, I always said that she's, to me, the most powerful black woman on the planet. But no, I wasn't separating her in gender. But usually when a sister can move out and be all of those places, and now she's coming up to par three on a lecture, the value of that sister is just astounding.
Yes.
And when she named the show Elevated Places, that's as high, I think, as you can go. That's the epitome. I cancel everything every Thursday. I do nothing between 7 and 8:30. And I never will, as long as this show is on.
All right. Well, Dr.
But I love the brotherhood.
I love you, too. We want to go ahead and move it on down, because we still got a bunch of folks still on the line. But I do appreciate
thing,
the call.
Let me
correct
one thing. The family moved from Oakland. They moved to their own home near the farm. They didn't move to live on the farm. So I just want to make that clear. They don't live on the farm, but they live close to the farm on their own property.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for the correction. We want to keep moving on. You're listening to Ask Dr. Ava, and we just had more callers to call in. I think we have, and I'm saying the name right, Dewan has a comment.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Assalamu Yes, sir. I had a question to ask you about. I heard you talking about the wheat and the food products. Where can you actually purchase that at?
Okay, if you go to NOIMOA.com, NOIMOA.com, you'll see a banner saying Staple Goods Project.
Yes, sir.
And hit that banner, and you'll see about a Staple Goods Project. What city are you in?
Indianapolis, Indiana, the Brother Nuri Camp.
Okay. If you look there, the Indianapolis will be getting a shipment in the next couple in January from the Staple Goods Project. So if you will look under members under the National Minister of Agriculture, you'll see the person in Indianapolis that you will contact. But on NOIMOA.com, that's where you can get forth the information. We don't have stores right now with Ambalaj Muhammad did, but our goal is to have our buying clubs and this distribution system to grow into that so that eventually we will have stores in your different cities. But right now, you can get it through your representative of the Ministry of Agriculture in your city.
Yes, sir. And I also want to say I love the panel, man. Y'all, this is a lifesaver. It's a God blessing. And I wanted to talk to Dr. Ava because I know the theme song that comes on is reminiscent, but Avon had a single out called Separate with Kelly Rowland was a remix.
Mm.
I think that would be the perfect intro to this conversation. So if you can pass that to that beautiful sister, I appreciate it, bro.
No problem. Okay. We definitely will. Want to thank you for calling in. Matter of fact, she will be listening to the replay of the show, so we'll make sure that we pass it on and that she can hear it on the show. But that is a wonderful, wonderful suggestion. And just as Dr. Ridges said, please go to NOIA.com, Nation of Islam, Ministry of Agriculture, NOIMOA.com, to learn more about the staple goods. But next we have a comment, I think. Did I just say Brother Michael or this Brother Michael?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I want to thank you all. You all are doing a wonderful job. You done made it through two segments and one down. Doing a great job, brother.
We sweating, though. I know I'm sweating. Go ahead.
They say, well, you're in a good company, Dr. Ridge. They say when champions go into a battle, they get nervous before they go into the battle, and but as soon as they get in, the butterflies leave. So I'm sure you are right by now.
I'm still sweating, though.
Yes, sir. My question is, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have both said this, and the statement is, when the South rise is over. And, you know, I'm recently moved here 2 years ago to the South, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm from California, so I'm trying to, that statement has just been sticking with me. So I wanted some insight to that statement, if you all could help me understand how do we get the South to rise? You know, how do we move forward so that it can be over, I guess is basically what I'm saying. Can you all help me with that?
Wow.
Dr. Richard, before you go into the deepness of that question, remember we do have some other callers that we need to get right to. but I would say this is a teaching that we know we ain't getting this condition overnight, and we do know that one of the reasons why the South is the way it is, because that's where we came to, and that's places that we was in bondage in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama. Those were some of the worst treatments that was done to us down in the South, and a lot of that residual effect of what happened to us still going on. And if we can get beyond that, and then, you know, we will uplift everybody else. But I know Dr. Ridgely has a comment on that before we go to our next caller.
Yeah, very brief comment. The enemy also heard that. Therefore, the enemy has put a lot of resources into hope and trying to stop that. In other words, a lot of his infiltration expertise has been sent down South, and I leave it like that.
Okay. I appreciate it, and I hope that our dear sister get a chance to answer it, because, you know, I being here, there's some great people here, first of all, in the South. That Southern hospitality is real. And I just wanted to, I just think that if there's a way to quicken the pace, we need to be about doing it. I thought maybe that should be in the discussion of separation as it relates to the believers here in the South. So I thank you and I appreciate you all for answering the question.
Yes, sir. If I knew how to quicken the pace, brother, I would be. I've been down here. And I've been trying to figure it out myself, brother. We just keep pushing. Now, one thing about it though, the black folks down here got skills. In other words, they know how to fix stuff. They know they have skills. So when they make their decision on who they going to use their skills for, we can't put up a nation overnight, because they are running the white man's world down here. They're running his farms, his factories. They have skills. And all we have to do now is to get them to convince them that we don't need him for them to do what they already know how to do anyway. See, in slavery, we built the white man's mansion and we built our own hut. In slavery, we made the white man's clothes and we made our own clothes. We fed the white man and we fed ourselves. We down south know how to do it, but we have to decide if we're going to do it for self or are we still going to do it for our master. And I'm going to leave you with this one piece. Once an animal has been domesticated, it is hard to get him to go back to the wild. We have been domesticated.
Crazy. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for your call, Brother Michael, and Dr. Richley just told us who we are and how we are domesticated. Thank you for your call, Brother Michael. Let's move right on along to Brother Hoyo. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Alaykum as-salam.
And wonderful job you brothers doing. I just want to tell Dr. Ridley, Master Rob Muhammad, to let that lion out the cage. He's running back and forth, but that lion ready to run out. He tired. That lion ain't domesticated. That lion, something woke him up. He tired of jumping through them hoops, and he ready to go out because he done bit two or three masters. I wanted to tell y'all, Brother Ridley broke, a few minutes ago when Dr. Ridley was breaking down what's going to happen with this country. You know, we also got to look at, you know, what's coming up with the propaganda, the flood, and also these wars coming up. But Dr. Ridley said something very important about the scapegoating. And in this new paper, how they were talking about the situation where the brother shot the policeman. And how they're trying to scapegoat that to, look over this police killing, and correct this so-called race war, whatever they want to do, But they planning a lot, But this is a real good article. And also, I want to say this too about the ministries. They're mentioning those ministries. That's already the blueprint for separation right there. That's the top blueprint, because Minister Farrakhan and that Means More Movement, like I said, we got agriculture, we got security, we got health, we got, and all of us there, because we're working on these white folks' jobs, and we just got to, to be put in place. But it's an article I want y'all to look at in this new paper. It's called What's Next After the Marches? And it's by Lauren Victoria Burke, and she's got some good stuff, but that last one, they don't want to put down, and that last one is the best one, and that's separation. That last one, she's got, votes and money, organize, letters, marching. But that last one, it's got to be separation. I was listening to a tape, brothers, Ms. Farrakhan did a while back. I had someone pull it out. It's called The Mind of God. He did it in the gym. Y'all remember that tape? It was done in the 90s, around the time Iraqi war, and he was talking about how God is not he's not an emotional God. He's analytical. He's logical. And right now, we look at things that happen in our life. We get emotional about it, but God does things for a reason. He just wants us to think, on a logical. Yeah. On a base. It's a deep tape. It's called The Mind of God. And that's what black people are going to have to probably, think about. Allah is putting us, we're emotional right now because, hey, we're losing our jobs. And, this white man's fang is coming out. What do we do? So that last, when we get to the point where we get to the logical and analytical thinking, that's going to be separation. So, you know, everything's falling in place. Everything's falling
that's
in place.
Right.
And I want to thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for the staple good. You know, Memphis is number one with the staple good right now.
Yes, sir.
And we you know, we're trying to keep it up. And the sister's doing pretty good with that. And our brother Rashad gave an excellent speech here, too. But if y'all get a chance with the information on that, give that information again about the your show, Dr. Ridgely. I just missed it, so we can with the separation conference and get that again because I missed all the information. And I'll talk to you guys, inshallah, and y'all have a blessed day. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, once again, I just want to let everybody know that you're listening to Ask Dr. Ava, and we're almost out of time. We thank all of our callers for calling in. For the those that we may not be able to get, we do apologize. And Dr. Ava is not here tonight because tomorrow she will be kicking off the opening day of Kwanzaa Umoja. How can we strengthen the unity between man, woman, and child? She will be at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center down in New Orleans. And on Sunday, she will be giving, I think, part three, Sin of Integration, at Mosque number 46 with Student Minister Willie Muhammad at 4201 Downman Road in New Orleans. And then on that Sunday at 4 p.m., she's doing a town hall meeting on how has integration affected black businesses and family, and that's at 4 p.m. on December 28th at 4 p.m. at Elm Grove Baptist Church. And you also can get her book at avamuhammad.net and learn more about the staple goods and the actual show that Dr. Ridgely does with the Foreign Ministry at noimoa.com, noimoa.com. We're going to try to squeeze in one more caller, Brother, I think Brother Watt. You got like 30 seconds to throw in your questions.
Well, I mean, if it's 30 seconds, it's all gravy. Assalamu alaikum, peace and love to everyone. Yes, sir. Hey, I was able to get the website, and I'm happy that I was just able to get the website. My mother is a registered Muslim over here in Newark. She got away from it. I've been invited back. I went to mosque number 7 twice. I was fortunate enough to see Sister Ava Muhammad, Dr. Ava Muhammad, on the big screen that day. I think Minister Farrakhan was doing he was doing the Marion Barry. She was at Marion Barry's funeral, so I was able to watch the separation. First time I was able to see Dr. Ava Muhammad, you know, in a whole lecture setting, and I was just very impressed. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I knew her name. I never just listened to the whole thing, and I think we're getting back, kind of coming full circle. My mom, myself, and my son. This might be starting to go to the local Mosque 25 over here in Newark, and just very happy, man, that the nation is doing some of the things that I like. I mean, some of the things that y'all getting start going that's been in the pipeline that you've been wanting to do, you're actually doing now. And is Dr. Ridgely, is he on the line, Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he is.
Okay, that's you. Okay, that's you and your queen. Okay, I see. I'm looking on the website. So what I would like to ask, I guess, will be, so you have 1,500 acres now. What is the end game as far as, like, acreage, you know, just acreage-wise? I know I heard you say from the land to the man, that blew me away right there. But so acreage, what level of acreage y'all looking to get to, you know, at the end game?
Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we needed 100 million acres. That's for food, clothing, and shelter, okay? But if we get another million acres and people are not cooking food, all right, if they're getting it from McDonald's, we don't sell to McDonald's.
Yeah.
So we have to get the people in the cities back into the habit of cooking so that when we buy land, we got a market for our product. Right now, people are not buying raw product. They don't even know what certain vegetables are. And they're not baking. We can sell it. Then we buy our flour because they're not baking bread. So, again, we have to do a two-part thing to make the land successful. We got to get our people back into the kitchen, and we got to get some processing plants to produce a product that the people are willing to buy in the cities, because right now they're not buying raw product. They're buying processed foods. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do to get land, but also to make the land profitable. We have to do a lot of work on the people's minds in the city.
And so with that, we want to thank you. And thank you for that question, Brother Walker. And hopefully you will, you know, continue to listen to this show as well as go to the show on Saturday that you just put up on the website, NOIMOA.com. But we want to thank everyone for calling because we're at the time limit of our show. But we thank everyone for always coming on to hear the show as Dr. Ava. And God willing, our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava, will be back next week. We thank all of the Elevated Place staff, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Ava.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Place with Dr. Ava. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Place. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.